It's 1:15 here on Giant 90.9. That can only mean one thing. Your host, Jackson White, is alongside Owen Pulley in HD1 Studios, and it's time for the Sports Spotlight!
Yes, it is time for the Sports Spotlight. And good afternoon. This is the Sports Spotlight. I'm your host, Jackson White, joined alongside the guy who made the intro, Owen Pulley. How's it going, Owen?
Good. I'm not doing too good right now, as I do have a minor case of the hiccups coming in. I can feel them coming in right now, and it's not feeling great.
Maybe you should get those figured out.
Yeah. I'll get them done by the end of the show.
Hopefully. But it's Tuesday, February 8th. There was no show last Thursday due to a snowfall that caused school not to be in session for 3 days, Wednesday to Friday.
We were here Wednesday.
I wasn't.
Oh, yeah.
My school didn't go.
Oh, yeah, Wednesday. Danville. You guys were out for e-learning like a week before, though, right? For some reason.
No.
I think I said e-learning. There was like two days where you didn't come because you did e-learning or something.
No, I had other stuff to do.
Oh. Okay. But you guys went on snow day Wednesday, Thursday, Friday?
Yes.
Nice.
Because I'm built different.
Yeah, we have Thursday, Friday, and then any other days that we have snow or weather or anything, we'll have to make it up with e-learning.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the new kind of wave of things. If you miss a day or whatever, if school has to go out, it's just going to be e-learning.
I will say that's probably one of the better things that come out of COVID. I mean, a lot of negative things came out of COVID. One of the best things that came out of it was advancement in, like, learning from home.
Yes, but this is a sports show, not a school show.
Right.
So we're going to get into it. Lots of stuff to talk about today. Indianapolis Colts announcing their new defensive coordinator, Gus Bradley, the creator of Seattle's defense back in the day.
The Legion of Boom,
the no-fly zone. He also was the head coach of the Jacksonville Jaguars, led them to a terrible record, and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which he was not good at. And then he was the defensive coordinator for the Chargers and Raiders. We'll talk about that and more. It's Super Bowl week. It's finally the Pro Bowl two-hand touch game. That was not fun. No one watched that. If you did, sorry.
We did watch the Maniac get a pick six to score the first touchdown, so that was pretty cool.
I saw that on Instagram. I did not watch the game because it was so boring. But, hey, you get a pick six, I guess. Congrats. I don't know why he's playing because I thought he had a bum ankle, but I guess not.
Mac Jones hitting the gritty. Just overall.
The real question is, why is Mac Jones in the Pro Bowl?
I think he was an alternate, maybe, for
He was an alternate, but why is he in the Pro Bowl?
For Burrow?
There's so many people that are better than Mac Jones that should be in the Pro Bowl.
Josh Allen was in the Pro Bowl, right?
No.
Oh, then why is he not in the Pro Bowl over Mac Jones?
I just don't think he wanted to play.
I didn't really watch the thing. I just know the Colts had the most Pro Bowlers and didn't even make the playoffs. So,
yeah, it's
kind of upset about that one.
But it's Super Bowl week. Bengals, Rams, we're going to talk about it a little bit today, and then Thursday will be the Super Bowl breakdown, the final game of the NFL season. Who will come on top? That will be next Thursday, this upcoming Thursday at 1:15. And then the NBA trade deadline is Thursday as well, so that's going to be a lot to talk about, but we're going to get into it today as well. The Pacers made a move. Caris LeVert out of town. See ya. Go to Cleveland. Ricky Rubio, welcome. He won't play here, though. He's going to be a free agent after the season. I doubt they bring him back. But they do get picks. We'll get into that as well. And, I mean, there's more possible moves. The Portland Trail Blazers made a move today. Damian Lillard lost his backcourt partner in C.J. McCollum. As a Lillard most likely going to miss probably the rest of this season with an injury. C.J. McCollum goes to the Pelicans to play with Brandon Ingram. I would say Zion Williamson, but who knows where he's doing.
Imagine C.J. McCollum, a healthy Zion Williamson, and I say healthy as in, like, lose weight, become more agile and everything. No shade towards Zion. Great collegiate athlete. Probably just won't do really anything in the NBA. And Brandon Ingram. Like, that's a very underrated big three.
Yeah, but all three of those players have never won anything.
Right.
And then nothing. C.J. McCollum went to a Western Conference Championship. I don't know what it's called.
Conference Finals.
Yeah, Western Conference Finals. And he lost to the Warriors in six. That's really the only thing he's done. I mean, he hasn't done too much. He's been banged up as well, and he's getting up there in age. So he's a guy who's questionable. But, I mean, I guess the the Pelicans are going to try to go on a run in the playoffs, maybe.
Are if I'm not mistaken, they're in, what, 14th or 15th right now?
They're up there now. They've gone on a little bit of a streak.
Oh, they did? Okay.
They're winning occasionally now. They have a good center in Jonas Valanciunas.
I really haven't been watching the Pelicans or anything right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, they've been decent this season. Actually, no. Yeah, they have a good, decent center in Jonas Valanciunas.
Yeah, he's pretty
But, yeah. And then,
he's had a couple stretches where he's been playing really well.
Yeah, and then it's some Indiana College or recaps, IU, Purdue, and more. So got a good show. But getting into it, Gus Bradley going to be becoming the new defensive coordinator for the Indianapolis Colts. Gus Bradley's a guy who has really been known. He's been an assistant coach and a head coach around the league for about 16 years now. He is known for a cover three defense that lacks blitzing. The one thing about his defense is they're a ball-hawking defense, and they're not afraid to attack the quarterback. But the thing is, he's always known for struggling with blitz packages, and that's what the Colts needed at defensive coordinator. But people like to say how Gus Bradley has been struggling, and at least of late, with his defenses. Oakland's defense ranked 15th last season, 14th, I do believe. And that was decent. It's not great. But Oakland's defense is not good. They don't really have too many playmakers. They have a couple good defensive players. Mason Crosby's really good. He's a good DN, but they don't really have too many swell players. I mean, the Colts defense compared to the Raiders defense, I mean, just on paper, is crazily better.
Like you said, on paper, the Colts, the Raiders have names, like you said, but the Colts have more. The Colts have more names, and I think that they have stronger players, they have faster players, they have overall better players. We'll just have to see how that's going to play out.
Well, the Colts have stars on defense.
Yeah, they have.
Name one star that's on the Raiders' defense, like a superstar.
Nobody.
The Colts have two.
I mean,
you could even argue three.
DeForest Buckner.
Of course.
Darius Leonard.
Yes.
Kenny Moore, possibly.
Yeah. I would argue Kenny Moore is a star at slot cornerback. I would say he's the best. Statistically, he's the best in the league. But you got DeForest Buckner is a guy who's top three at his position.
Bobby Okereke is a very.
I'll get to that.
A big name, but.
He's a solid linebacker.
Yeah,
and then you have Darius Leonard, statistically the best turnover linebacker in the league. He's,
great.
I mean, statistically, he's going to go down as the best linebacker ever if he keeps it up.
Yeah.
He's on pace to be the best. Luke Kuechly was there, but Luke Kuechly obviously retired early. He's really good. Kenny Moore had a really good season. He was first-time Pro Bowler. They also have some other defensive pieces. Kwity Paye is a guy who came on towards the end of the season having 3 sacks in the final 3 games. It's not what you wanted from him, but he got all rookie first team on the D-line. Not that bad.
I mean, yeah, as a rookie coming out and only coming later really in the season, I mean, you got some time in the beginning of the season, but really showing out in the later season, like you said, last three games averaged a sack a game.
Yeah, and he looked good. And then you have Isaiah Rodgers, who had a decent year this season, intercepted Tom Brady, 3 total interceptions, not that bad. Rock Ya-Sin had a really good season as well, statistically.
He had a great bounce-back season.
Yeah, he played terrible last year, and he played pretty well this season. He had some moments that were a little shaky, but everyone did on this defense. And then, like you mentioned, Bobby Okereke. He's a guy who he's just a really good linebacker. He's not an all-star. He's not a superstar, but he's not a pro bowler, but he has potential to be one day. He's young. He's only 24. He's fast. He moves around the field. I do think linebackers are a position the Colts need to work on. I think they need to get another guy to rotate with Leonard and Okereke because they kind of had a two linebacker bunch. I think they were better whenever they had Walker. Even though Walker took away from Okereke, I think they need to have a three linebacker set. I do think they will with this new defensive coordinator. And they have some good safeties as well. Julian Blackman's a guy who was really coming on before he got injured. Had a really good rookie year. They have Willis. He's a guy who kind of had a down year, played well last season, but he's a good player. And obviously, I think defense is where some of their draft picks are going to be. I think they need to sign another safety. I think they need a safety. I think they could use another corner. A guy who's linked here now since Gus Bradley's our new defensive coordinator, Casey Hayward Jr., who looked like he lost a step last season, still a good cornerback. I think if possibly he is here, I think Xavier Rhodes' Holt role will be filled by him. I don't think Rhodes is going to come back. He was banged up all season, and he's getting up there in age, and he just kind of had a down year after having two interceptions last season in one game versus the Jets. Did not. He only had one interception this season. And, I mean, this defense has playmakers, obviously, their biggest need, rushing the quarterback. They struggle with that. We're going to have to ultimately see. But I think this defense has potential to be a top defense again. They have the playmakers and they have the ability. And this is Gus Bradley's best defense by far since he's been in early Seattle.
Yeah, I think that defense, like you said, will come with more pieces when Gus Bradley really fully joins the squad. When they start practicing in, I believe, June.
Yeah, but they'll probably start doing a voluntary mini camp, a training camp, whatever, in summer. So we'll see that. But one thing different about Eberflus and Gus Bradley is, and I believe that's why they hired him, even though Bradley was in the Chargers, he got there right after Reich, so him and Reich have no really connection. This was a hire by, I mean, Reich liked the guy. They had lots of conversations. I listened to an interview last night of Gus Bradley, and he said he's talked to Reich before, and they never really got to really talk too much, but he respected him. That's one thing. And the reason Gus Bradley said he came here is because of the culture. And, I mean, Hard Knocks really showed it off. The culture here in Indianapolis is nice. It's an extremely well culture. And I think he likes it here. He has playmakers. And the difference between Bradley and Eberflus is Eberflus plays a cover two defense that has bend, don't break. Bradley's a guy who's going to go at least attempt to get you. I don't know. I mean, he hasn't had the playmakers since Seattle. But that Seattle defense was amazing. And, I mean, he has the playmakers here. He has a guy like Bobby Wagner and Darius Leonard. Obviously, he doesn't have Cam Chancellor and Earl Thomas as safeties, but he has decent safeties. I think they're going to add another one in the draft or free agency. I mean, they have playmakers. So only time will tell, but he plays a cover three. He's known for his cover three. He doesn't give up big plays, and he doesn't get conservative. And it's hurt him in the past. And the problem is the Colts got conservative, and that's why they lost games. And I think time will tell with this defense, and let's see what they do. But I like the hire. Right whenever it happened, I was a little confused because I really only remembered him of his recent success. But then you have to go look back, and, I mean, he was the guy who created the Legion of Boom. And then you look at the defenses he was dealing with. They weren't that good. And with the Chargers, they were decent. They were solid. But it seems like every team he leaves, they get better defensively because they add players, not, like, better statistically. But I think it will be a
good hire.
Good hire. Oh my.
What?
Oh my. Breaking news. I know we haven't talked about the Pacers yet, but breaking news, the Indiana Pacers are trading Domantas Sabonis,
no.
Jeremy Lamb, and Woj said Jeremy Lamb twice, but Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield, and Tristan Thompson.
Hold on. I'm going to go over to you.
What do you mean you're going to go over to me? I read it. Sabonis and Jeremy Lamb for Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield, and Tristan Thompson.
Wow.
So it's official. The Pacers are sticking with Miles Turner.
Sabonis was my guy. I thought he was not
I thought they were going to build around him.
Yeah.
I just.
Buddy Hield. Wow. And that's a Woj bomb? Legit Woj bomb?
Woj bomb, yeah. Two Jeremy Lambs are going to Sacramento.
Jeremy Lamb and
Jeremy. Multiple Jeremy Lambs are going to Sacramento. So I guess the Pacers had two of them. I did not know they had two of them, but that is breaking news here on the Sports Spotlight. Jeremy Lamb. No, Justin Holiday.
What?
Justin Holiday is going to Sacramento. So the full trade. This is breaking news. Domantas Sabonis, Jeremy Lamb, and Justin Holiday are going to Sactown, Sacramento for Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield, and Tristan Thompson.
Tristan Thompson's a good pick. I like that.
What?
He
sucks.
Player. He's a decent player.
He's washed. He's terrible. They need to get him out of town. He's a contract, though, so that's only Ray.
Do you think Buddy Hield will be good?
Yeah, he's a young shooter, but I think they made this deal for a Halliburton. He is a guy that is a really young player. He was a rookie last season. I like this deal, kind of. I mean, I didn't want Sabonis to go. He's my favorite player.
Yeah.
But luckily, I was close to buying a Sabonis jersey last year.
I did buy a Sabonis jersey.
Oh, tough. You also bought a Blankenship jersey, and I don't think he's going to be an NFL kicker next year, maybe. But yeah, that's just kind of that is a wow. That is something. Wow, I didn't even expect to talk about the Pacers this early. But DeMontis Sabonis, Jeremy Lamb, and Justin Holiday out of Indiana, and Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield, and Tristan Thompson to the Pacers. Wow. That is a crazy, crazy deal there.
Yeah, that's a lot of movement for one trade, especially like how the NBA works with like two-team trades sometimes, four teams even sometimes, and running a two-team trade with six players involved is pretty crazy. And no picks at all, just players?
No picks at all. At least I don't think so. At least it's not reported yet.
This is very new. People listening, this is very new information. So
breaking news.
We'll get it as we come.
Yeah, this just was announced 4 minutes ago. I have Boge's notifications on my phone around this time of the year. And wow, that is breaking news. So DeMontis Sabonis out of Indy. Wow.
Both Holiday brothers out in the same season.
Well, Aaron Holiday was terrible. Yeah. But, wow, that is just something crazy there. I'm going to currently, I know I'm kind of taking a turn. I'm usually prepped for this stuff, but I was
not prepped for breaking news.
I was not expect for that, but Halliburton is a guy who is 21 years old.
He's young.
He's very young. He's a really good player. He was born in the year 2000. This season, he's averaging 14 points per game. He's shooting 41% from three, 7.4 assists. 1.7 steals. He's a really good player. He's a guy who came from Iowa State. He was the rookie last season. He was on the all-rookie first team last year. Last season for the Sacramento Kings, he averaged 13 points per game. And this season, he's averaging 14. And, wow, that is just something crazy, crazy to say the least. DeMontis Sabonis out of Indiana. Wow.
He's been a Pacer for what? 5, 6 years?
Been here. What?
Was it like 26? No, not seven. I'm trying to think.
He's been here for four.
What would that have been? 2017? 2017. I thought because it was. For some reason, I was
George's
thinking.
George's last
like,
season here was 2017.
For some reason, I was thinking it was like 2015, 2016. But I think he was drafted in 2013, 2014.
15.
Oh. He's younger than I thought he was. For some reason, I thought Sabonis was older.
How old do you think he is?
27.
I think he's 26.
28, 27,
28, 26. All right. But that is just a crazy deal there. Justin Holiday and Jeremy Lamb. I mean, the Pacers are obviously in rebuild mode.
Trying to have a big offseason. Or not offseason, but.
That is just that's a big deal there. So, DeMontis Sabonis is officially out of town. Wow. I don't even know how to feel about that. That stunk.
I thought they were going to get rid of Miles.
Miles was out of town. I mean, Miles has been making TikToks lately. Maybe that makes him,
He would be the guy, in my opinion, to get rid of. I mean, Sabonis is averaging a double-double. Now, his defense is not that good, but.
So, actually, there's been more to the trade. And the Pacers are giving a 2027 second-round pick to Sacramento.
Jeez, that's the year I graduate college. That's a long time from now.
Yeah, I mean, wow. That is just something. That is a crazy deal there. So the Pacers have made two deals in recent memory. Caris LeVert going out of Indy for a first-round pick from Cleveland this season. And they get Ricky Rubio back as well. And, that's just a
moment of silence here on the Sports Spotlight for that.
Yeah, that's just something. That sucks. I really like Sabonis. He was a guy who was going to give you 20, 10, and a 6 every night. Wow. I don't know. That's something crazy. Wow. Sabonis out of town. Breaking news here. DeMontis Sabonis, Jeremy Lamb, and the Pacers 27. 2027 second round pick in Justin Holiday for Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield, and Tristan Thompson. More to come, possibly, as this is breaking news just reported 6 minutes ago. So, breaking news here on the Sports Spotlight. I'm your host, Jackson White, with Owen Pooley. And, yeah, we were talking about Colts' new defensive coordinator, but that kind of stole the topic of the day. But, wow, that is just something crazy there. So, Pacers going young. I guess they're going full rebuild mode. I guess finally Mr. Chiefscoming Simon said, blow it up. And I guess his little team is going to get very young.
Yeah, it's definitely going
to be. But Halliburton is a guy, 21 years old. And, I mean, this is going to be his team now. So, hey, I guess we'll take it. Sabonis, rest in peace. Rest in peace to the number 11, the triple-double machine. He was always fun to watch. But, yeah, the Pacers are now going to be the worst rebounding team in the league because no one on this team can grab rebounds except Terry Taylor. Shout out Terry Taylor, the undrafted free agent. But, well, that's just a breaking news thing there. But let's just talk about – so what is your thoughts on that trade, Owen?
You know, I think it's a decent trade for the Pacers. Could be really good out of the Pacers, but they're getting Buddy Hield and, like you said, Tyrese Halliburton, who's a young guy, 21 years old. But Tristan Thompson's just coming with the deal. But the Pacers are giving away a lot. You know, they're getting three players, giving away three players and a pick. Jeremy Lamb, he's been kind of inconsistent this year. He's been injured a little bit too. Justin Holiday has been pretty clutch when all the Pacers went down with injuries, and Sabonis has been a great guy. Sabonis is the one that hurts. You know, I like Turner. Turner's really good, but I think that Turner he's older, and I think the Pacers should have built around Sabonis. He's a better player.
Halliburton, though, he's 21, and he's a good player.
Miles Turner's defense is really good. You know, he sends back shots into, like, the upper deck, you know. He can shoot the three ball. But Sabonis, he just works the inside paint really, really well. And he can get a lot of rebounds. And
ultimately,
pick, you know.
But. I'll be completely honest. I think Turner's out as well.
You think so?
I think Miles Turner will be traded. I don't know when.
Is it Tristan Thompson that I'm thinking of that's having off-the-court issues as well? Or
yeah, he's the Kardashian boy. So that's going to be fun.
Yeah. Kardashian's moving to Indy?
Yeah.
Maybe we'll go down the street and see a Kardashian at, like, Harry Nizzi's or something, St. Elmo's. Never know.
One big thing is Thompson's contract is a one-year, $9 million deal. So another $9 million shutting off the Pacers' book. So, that's going to be something big as well. And the real question, who is making these deals? Is it Rick Carlisle or is it Kevin Pritchard? Because I think it's Carlisle.
Yeah, I think that he's kind of running it right now. And Pritchard's just like, okay.
I don't know. I think the Pacers, whenever they decided to hire Carlisle, they gave him a little bit of money. I think they're obviously going to side with him over Pritchard. And I think it's his decision. I don't know. This team is going extremely young, so pain in paradise, I guess. We're not going to be good for a while, but hopefully whenever we do get good, all these young players can turn into stars and the Pacers will be good again. But that is a breaking news story. The Indiana Pacers trade DeMontis Sabonis, Jeremy Lamb, and Justin Holiday in a second-round pick in 2027 to the Sacramento Kings for Tyrese Halliburton. Buddy Hield and Tristan Thompson. Just a crazy deal. But more NBA trades that have happened today. Another big one that happened. New Orleans getting C.J. McCollum. And a crazy deal that happened. C.J. McCollum, Larry Nance, and Tony Snell went from Portland to the Pelicans. And the Pelicans, the Trailblazers got back Josh Hart, Nikhil Alexander-Walker, Thomas Saransky, and Didi Louisiana. I don't know how to say that name. That's a name right there. And a first-round pick. So that is a crazy, just a lot of crazy stuff going on. NBA trade deadline coming up here in a couple of days this Thursday. So we're going to take a quick break and come back talking more Pacers news with that big trade there, and then some college basketball coming your way. We'll be right back on the Sports Spotlight.
180 over 111, and I had a stroke.
145 over 92, and then I had a heart attack.
150 over 90, and I had a stroke.
This is what high blood pressure sounds like. You might not feel its symptoms, but the results from a heart attack or stroke are far from silent. Get back on your treatment plan or talk with your doctor to create a plan that works for you. Go to loweryourhbp.org.
Everything's changed.
Brought to you by the American Heart Association, American Medical Association, and the Ad Council.
Pass it on.
Here's a short quiz. Who won Best Actress last year? Who won the World Series 2 years ago? And finally, name your favorite teacher.
Pass it on.
Now, I'm guessing that the last question was the easiest. Why is that? Because that person made a difference in your life. So, go ahead and make a difference. Because making a difference is in you.
Pass it on.
From PassItOn.com.
Hey, hon. What you doing with your phone? Taking pictures?
No, I'm asking it questions.
Like what?
Hey, Bobo. Do flowers have best friends?
I'm sorry. I'm afraid I don't know that.
Hey, follow me. I want to show you something. Look, flowers do have best friends.
Whoa.
Some answers can only be found in nature. Discover the unsearchable. Visit discovertheforest.org to find a trail near you. Brought to you by the United States Forest Service and the Ad Council.
And welcome back to the Sports Spotlight. After that quick break, I'm your host, Jackson White.
If you're just joining us, breaking news.
Breaking news. The Indiana Pacers are trading Domantas Sabonis, Jeremy Lamb, and another Jeremy Lamb in the first week, but Justin Holiday and a 2027 second-round pick to the Sacramento Kings for Tyrese Halliburton, Buddy Hield, and Tristan Thompson. A crazy deal for the Indiana Pacers. I'm your host, Jackson White, here now with John Easter joining me.
And you know, as much as we beat on Kevin Pritchard here on this show every once in a while.
Every week.
this is a nice trade, I think, when you look at this. And the way it's structured, you get some money at the end of the year, too. And then, of course, you get that young player in Halliburton who is excellent. So,
oh, yeah.
Yeah, this is with Duarte, with... you know, now you're starting to see maybe some sort of an idea of where the Pacers want to go.
And the other thing is, Buddy Hield's a guy who averages 18.
Right.
But the thing is, Buddy Hield is 29. I don't think he wants to be part of a rebuild. Do you flip Hield for more assets? That's another thing you can talk about.
Do that now.
Yeah, I mean, obviously they want to possibly flip Rubio. So the Pacers might be not done. I don't think they're done.
Well, and you still have some assets over there on your bench, too, or not on your bench, and your starting lineup sometimes. You still have an asset. I think you guys hit on it before the break. Miles Turner's still over there. And, you know, as of this morning, I read an article where there are several teams who are interested in Miles Turner. So you have Malcolm Brogdon, who can't be traded now, but certainly can be after the season is over. So the Pacers suddenly look like maybe they have some direction, which that should give, I think, Pacers fans a little hope.
And I think Pacers fans are going to start going back to games if they know that a young team that could be something. And the crazy thing is, when it's all said and done, let's say they just unload house, okay? The oldest player on this team might be Chris Duarte.
Right.
And that is just crazy because he's 24. But Halliburton, 21 years old, is a guy who's been in he was an all-rookie first team last year. He's averaging 14 a game. He shoots 41% from three. And he was really the third or fourth fiddle on the Kings. And now he's going to come here and possibly be a one or a two.
Right.
And, I mean, that's just really going to boost him up. They have Duarte, Isaiah Jackson. Terry Taylor's a guy who's came around and had double-doubles lately. And, I don't think they're done. Ultimately, I do think Miles Turner, if healthy, because he is hurt right now, does get moved. I know a lot of teams are barking at him because he is an extreme talent at blocking shots, and a team like that needs a center. You could say the Charlotte Hornets are a team. The Golden State Warriors need a center to block shots.
Dallas, I was interested.
And I mean, he's a Dallas boy.
Right.
Came from Texas. So,
you know, I think too, with when you look at him, you know, we talked about somebody who just kind of needs a new venue. Mm-hmm. I think he needs a new venue. I think he would do well just in a new situation. So,
well, the thing is,
I don't dislike Miles Turner.
No,
as a person.
I like it.
There's a lot of good things to like about that kid, and he is still a kid too.
Oh yeah,
he's still a young man. So, but a great trade today. Again, if you're just joining us, the Pacers wheeling and dealing.
Yeah, the big trade. Domantas Sabonis is out of Indy. Same with Jeremy Lamb, someone I wanted to get traded forever. He doesn't do anything, right? And Justin Holiday.
Why don't you tell us what you really think, Jackson?
Oh, I am. I'm sad Sabonis is gone, but I think it's the right time. I mean, obviously this team is not working. And, I mean, I've read articles all day that the Pacers are looking to trade TJ Warren because he's an expiring contract. He's a guy who I don't know if he's ever going to play basketball again. I think he's still in the bubble. They need to go find him. I think there's other guys that
he
could be.
He still thinks that previous coach is coaching the Pacers.
Nate McMillan is
Nate
still
McMillan,
the coach.
Yeah. Name escaped me for 2 seconds there.
But I think other moves are still going to happen. This team still has assets. They obviously now have Buddy Hield as a guy who is older. He's a shooter. I think a team like the Lakers could be interested in him. They wanted him in the offseason. I think other contending teams are going to be barking at Hield, Turner, and they could easily trade a Hield-Turner package to another team and get a lot of young assets back. I think this is the official turnaround for this team. I want them to continue to lose. I think there's a player up in Purdue that I like. I wish would come down here and play. but obviously, I know there's other seven-footers who play in Gonzaga that the Pacers
Breaking news. The Pacers have traded Boomer to Chicago for Benny the Bull and a first-round draft pick. So congratulations. The Pacers are getting that with Benny the Bull and the first. So Boomer now, Chicago Bull.
Breaking news, the Pacers are bringing Bowser out of retirement.
I'm joking. They better never trade Boomer. There will be a revolt in this city if they ever trade Boomer.
They do need to bring Bowser back, though. Boomer and Bowser used to be best friends.
What happened? Bowser just disappeared.
He's
just like all of a sudden, just one day.
Gone.
Bowser was gone.
I don't know what happened. He was cool looking, too.
Yeah. I've always been a big Boomer fan, so. Good to see Boomer. We have, I will say this, between our sports franchises here in India, and you got Freddie Fever, who's awesome.
Mm-hmm.
You have Boomer, who's awesome. And you have Blue, and then Rowdy with the Indians, and the Fuel, the Flame guy for Fuel.
Mm-hmm.
His name's escaping me at the moment. But
and Blue is the highest paid mascot.
Well, Blue is awesome. He got some more press this weekend because they were showing the highlight of OBJ dancing at the Pro Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And Blue was dancing with him.
Yeah, Blue, he's probably I would say him and Benny the Bull, two of the most famous mascots around. And yeah, I mean, we do have a really good amount of mascots. That's one thing we do have going for us. But I'm sad the Pacers did not trade away Goga. I'm still sad about that.
He's still on the team, so he could be traded.
Hopefully. I mean,
It looks like nobody's safe. You know, everybody's going to their locker and like, why is my locker cleaned out? Well, by the way.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. That's just a big trade there. I mean, Sacramento has been focusing in on Sabonis for a while. And the Pacers said they're not doing it. I know De'Aaron Fox was a name in there. And in all reality, I think Halliburton's better than Fox. When it comes to a trade you want, Fox is a guy who got a max contract. Halliburton's not going to want that for a while. Well, he's going to want it, but he's not going to want it right now.
Right.
And he's younger, younger.
And two, Domas is a West Coast guy. I mean, he grew up kind of out there, and this gets him closer to there. So it is hard to see him go, though. I really like Domantas Sabonis.
Yeah.
As a player, as a person, I think he's given the Pacers a lot, even though really they don't have much to show for it. In the time he's here, I don't think that's been Domas's fault. But
I just think the Pacers really had to look in the mirror and say, are we ever going to be able to win a championship with Domantas Sabonis being your best player? And the ultimate question is, the ultimate answer is no.
Well, and I think, too, the answer is somebody wanted him.
You know, a lot of people
wanted him. I think that was the big thing is the right deal came along, and you know, Kevin Pritchard and the rest of the Pacers organization was like, well, can't let this one go by.
Yeah. And the Pacers are going to have a lot of cap. Tristan Thompson, $9 million to the cap and this deal, and will be an expiring contract. So the Pacers are going to have a lot of money. And you know what free agents like, superstars? They like to go to places where they can bring superstars with them. Yeah. I'm not saying the Pacers are going to go out and get like what the Nets did with Kyrie and KD. But it's a possibility. It won't happen, but it's a possibility.
Well, I think, too, I know that people dog out the market sometimes here and say that superstars don't want to come here and play. But why wouldn't you want to come here to Indianapolis and play? I mean, certainly the cost of living is a lot lower here in this mm-hmm. city. You know, if you're somebody who is a star, you are the star of this city. Oh, you yeah. know, this was Reggie Miller's city. There's murals have been painted downtown. This was Peyton Manning City. You know, that they and the two of them played here together for a while. That's what blows my mind. But, you know, this city loves its sports stars. You just look no further than somebody like Elio Castroneves or Tony Kanaan, who could probably run for mayor of Indianapolis and win without question. We love our sports stars in this city. We will. And as long as you come in here and you give back to the city, people will love you. If you're a sports star, you'll become an honorary Hoosier. If mm-hmm. you're not already, Jaden Ivey. If you're not already a Hoosier, you'll become an honorary one. So this really, I think, as you said, probably opens up some avenues for the Pacers. And I think, too, if you got Rick Carlisle, who is a popular coach.
I mean, a lot of people want to play for him.
Right. You got a popular coach who really does take care of his superstars. I mean, he took care of Dirk all those years. He is a guy that people want to play for. You got an organization and a city that now can show you the plan. This is what we want to do, and this is the part that we want you to play in this. I think that maybe you can recruit some of those maybe bigger names that would – not have looked at the Pacers a year or two ago.
And that's the thing. I mean, so let's say they get off the books of, let's say they Rubio after the season, Rubio, Thompson now, TJ Warren are off the books. They already have cap. Miles Turner's no longer on it. Halliburton's on a cheap deal. Buddy Hield, he might be gone as well. That opens up for a possibility to bring two max players here. I mean, obviously, I know we're extremely cheap. I doubt it. But let's just say something crazy happens. That opens up the possibility. And
well, and you know, before the press conference where Herb Simon came out and said he loved his little team and all those things, the rumor was that the Pacers were looking to just completely blow it up and redo everything. And then it was kind of like, oh, pump the brakes. Owner doesn't want to do it. But now it looks like they're back on the let's completely blow this thing up and redo it because it's not working. I think anybody could have looked at this team and seen it was not working. So,
even Draymond Green said the Pacers stink.
Yeah.
And we do. But now we have lots of young assets, lots of young pieces. I think this team, they saw what the young team had whenever they went up and beat Golden State.
Right.
They saw this young team together was exciting. People were tweeting about it on Twitter. Whenever they play a normal game with all the starters, no one cares.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. I'm more interested now mm-hmm. after this trade than I would have been before it.
And I think going into next season, I think the starting five that was in the bubble, besides obviously Oladipo, switch out LeVert, I think all of them are going to be gone. I think Brogdon's gone in the offseason.
He just hasn't worked out here. I mean,
he's not a point guard.
When you look at some of the deals that Kevin Pritchard has made, to his credit, they've looked good on paper.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, Malcolm Brogdon's probably the biggest free agent signing we've had since David West. And David West, before that, I mean, we don't sign free agents usually, at least not in recent memory. Hopefully, maybe that will change. But Malcolm Brogdon was a big time free agent. He was coming off a rookie of the year a couple years ago. He was a guy giving you, he was in the 90. The 50-50-90 club. 50-40-90 club. And that's a rare.
But the Pacers probably should have known something was up. with the injury situation with him. Because even when he was in Milwaukee, it was there.
And I think that's why Milwaukee didn't keep him.
They knew.
They knew, and we didn't. And now we have figured it out. Obviously, he's a guy who's extremely respected.
Yeah.
He's a really good guy.
High gives character back. Individual.
He's really smart.
Absolutely.
But he's a good player as well. But he's not a point guard.
And he's a guy that after basketball is going to be just fine.
Oh, 100%.
He'll be in Congress.
Oh, yeah. I mean, he sounds just like Obama, too.
You're right. And I mean, that guy is a leader. So you know that Malcolm Brogdon is going to be just fine after basketball. But it just didn't work out here in Indiana for him. And you would think that at the end of the season, the Pacers will probably cut ties with him, too.
Yeah, and that's just the thing. It does kind of – I like Malcolm Brogdon a lot. He's a high character. He's a leader. But it's just the Pacers need a point guard, and he's not that. Halliburton is that. Maybe they like Brogdon. Maybe they think if he gets healthy, they can put a Halliburton-Brogdon-Dorte lineup out there.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That'd be a good 1-2-3 lineup right there.
Yeah, because Brogdon's a two. He's just like George Hill. Whenever the Pacers traded for George Hill, I was too young to really think about it. Looking back at it now, I was a little confused because they needed a guard. They had Darren Collison. They let him walk. They brought in George Hill, and George Hill was not a point guard. He was a shooting guard in a point guard's position. And the same thing with Brogdon.
He kind of had to play out of position.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. George Hill plays best off the ball. And obviously he can do it. But looking right now, the best point guard on the roster besides Halliburton is Lance Stephenson.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's bad. Stephenson isn't a point guard.
And I just wonder what's going to happen after this season with Lance.
Oh,
I mean, think the Pacers have to bring him back.
Even if he just plays at home games and sits the bench.
Yes.
He just is a pop.
I mean, I think that that's become necessary.
And I think this team plays better when he's here. And he's a good person to have it in practice. And even if he's not even contributing to a winning aspect, I think he'll stay.
Well, he can still give you minutes.
Oh, yeah, he's a good player.
And he can still, as we've seen already this year, can still just
pull one out
every once in a while.
Get hot.
Yeah.
And another thing is a guy who's no one talked about in a while, T.J. McConnell. They just re-signed him. He's coming off an injury. He's getting up there in age. I would assume contending teams will be interested in him in free agency, offseason. I mean, there's just lots of moving pieces. And, I mean, this team could look completely different by Thursday and by the offseason.
And it needed to.
Oh,
because
yeah.
It wasn't working.
Yeah.
Nobody's fault. It just, the pieces were not meshing together. And, you know, when you bring in a new coach, I think that he probably says, well, you know, this is what I want. And, you know, I raised the question on Twitter with Jim Reimers, a good friend of ours here at WBDG. And, you know, he was saying that Kevin Pritchard's had a very good week, which he has. But I was like, are we sure it's Kevin Pritchard that's pulling? And his point was probably Carlisle steered him. You know, this is what I want. Well, can we get Halliburton? This is the guy that I want. And then Pritchard made it happen. And I can accept that. I think that's probably what happened.
Oh, yeah. I would assume that's what happened.
It's like, I don't want LeVert. You know, let's deal with this. And then, you know, Cleveland's like, well, we do. So you get him, you get some expiring cap space there. You get a couple of really good draft picks over there. And then, you know, now this deal, which brings you in a pillar, you know, now you got Duarte, you got Halliburton, you got a couple of pillars and then some other ingredients that you can build around now if you're the Pacers. Now you start looking at, okay, what can we do for a four? What can we do in post? But, you know, you've got a post right now named Miles Turner, but he's an asset that people would like.
I think your center right now is Isaiah Jackson.
Right.
In reality.
Young guy. Another young guy. The other young rookie. I mean, you hate to look at players like, oh, he's an asset because Miles Turner is a person. But
it's
when it comes to the NBA business, you've got a guy.
And I think you could get a lot for Turner.
Right.
And that's the thing. Turner is a guy.
He's an upside guy still. Miles Turner has just such a tremendous upside.
Well, people have been saying that for 6 years. At this point, I'm a person who thought Miles Turner had the potential to be a future All-Star. And I still could. You could look at him raw and say, that guy could be an All-Star if you put it together. But the ultimate thing about Miles Turner is, and I'm a guy who owns Miles Turner jerseys, I like Miles Turner. But it's never going to happen. He will never be an all-star in this league unless he learns how to rebound and he fixes, basically just fixes how he walks, how he runs, everything, because he's just awkward as a player. And you do not see players like Miles Turner in the All-Star game unless there is a weak selection at center. In this current NBA, there is not bad centers. 8 years ago, Miles Turner would have been an All-Star starter like Roy Hibbert was, because Roy Hibbert could only block shots. Turner is better than Roy Hibbert besides rebounding, and Roy Hibbert didn't even put up good rebounding stats in all reality. 6.6 rebounds a game. Ugh. Turner averages more than that. Miles Turner will never be an All-Star. He has upside, but that upside will never come to fruition in all reality.
I just want to get back to that time in this city where you would have the Indianapolis 500 and then they'd have to turn traffic around towards downtown because you had a Pacers game right after that in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
That was fun. The Racers and the Pacers. We need to get back to that situation here in town, because right now it's like the Indy 500 is the only show in town in May. It'd be nice to have the Pacers to talk about again, because this is, by all rights, and I think I've said it before on this show, this is a Pacers town first.
Mm-hmm.
The Colts came in here in 84, and it took them a long time to gain footing. It's become a Colts town, but it's a Pacers. The Pacers were the only pro show in town here other than the Indians. The Indians are pro baseball. The hockey, you know, we've had pro hockey here for many years, but it's not the top league like the NBA. The Pacers have been here since 1968 or 67.
Something
67
like that
was their first year. And this was a Pacers town. So this is our franchise here. And it's good to see them making moves, maybe to make themselves a contender in the Eastern Conference again.
Yeah, I remember back in the early 2010s, whenever they were going at it with the Miami Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals, you'd watch the Pacers take on the Heat on a Saturday in Miami, and then it would be Pacers at home versus or something like that, just whatever.
I'm old enough to remember. I know they mentioned this, that the Pacers, while I was driving home the other night from the basketball game, listening to the Mark Boyle on the postgame show, was talking about this is the furthest below 500 the Pacers have been since like 89.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they don't do it. This doesn't happen often. And I think they know something's wrong, and I think things are going to happen.
And that's an amazing thing when you think about it. They've been all the teams in the NBA. The Pacers have been extremely stable as far as playoff berths.
Too stable.
Exactly. I mean, they haven't had that. Yeah, I think that top 10 pick.
Yeah, since 89.
Since 89.
Their last top 10 pick was Rick Smits, if that tells you anything.
I mean, that's been a long time. And I think when you look at this team and what they're trying to do, a couple weeks ago, we were saying, what are they trying to do?
Now we know.
Yeah.
They're blowing it up.
Yeah.
And I'm happy for it. So you look at the young assets this team has. Going into this draft, I'm just going to mention draft picks first. They have their draft pick, which as of right now is a top five pick, as once you're listening to the Sports Spotlight on WBDG FM HD1 Indianapolis. But they have a top five pick right now, currently fifth. If they continue to lose, that can move up. That's a guy who's going to be really good out of the gate. And then you have the Cleveland Cavaliers first round of this season, which the Cavs are currently a playoff team. But that's going to be a low 20s. It's lottery protected, but the Cavs are going to make the playoffs, I would assume, especially with LeVert. That's going to be a low 20s, maybe high teens pick. That's a good first rounder. I mean, you could obviously flip it. And if they really wanted to get crazy, they could flip up the 5 and the 20th to move up. Let's say Ivy is a guy protected top three. They want Ivy. They could bump up. So that's another thing. They obviously got 2 second-round picks from the Cleveland. They had a 2027 pick and a pick of this season, which is from the Houston Rockets, which is the early 30s pick because the Rockets are not good. So that's going to be pick 33. So practically you have 3 first-rounders.
And because they're going to be young, because they're going to be rookies, they're going to be on that rookie deal, they're not going to break the bank.
Oh, they're going to be cheap.
So then now you've got all these young guys who are good, who are developing. Then you maybe bring, as we were talking about, bring in some older players who maybe those max guys. Can
and
you
I mean,
do that?
This free agency pool is loaded. loaded. I know there's a guy who used to play here a couple of years ago by the name of George. I doubt he comes back, but he is in the free agency pool.
Boy, wouldn't that be interesting?
That would be something. That would be crazy.
Wouldn't that be interesting if Paul George came back here?
That would be.
There'd be a lot of people that would have to issue a lot of apologies.
Yeah.
And I'd probably be one, because I probably at some point criticized Paul George. I try not to do that stuff, but
yeah,
nobody's perfect.
I mean, he hasn't dribbled the ball here in a home game and got booed since. Like, every time he has the ball, they boo.
Right.
Every single time.
He did not stick the landing when he left here.
No.
So. But you go back and you look now at that trade, and, you know, at first it was like the Pacers won that trade. Because now you look at the assets they got for Sabonis. They really won that trade.
Oh, they got a bunch of assets for George, practically.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's just the Paul George trade leaf, or like tree.
And that was Kevin Pritchard again.
He's made good moves.
Yeah.
I know, obviously.
Just can't draft. But
he just can't draft. I mean, he did good this
Duarte.
Year.
Duarte.
Duarte and Jackson. But yeah. Then you look at the young assets they have. They have Chris Duarte, a guy who's averaging 14 this season.
I like that guy a lot.
Oh, he's a baller.
He's a baller, but... But I've seen him interviewed and things. Mm-hmm. You just really like, you root for the guy.
And he has a family. He's a good guy. Isaiah Jackson's a really young guy. He's 20. He's a good player. He's a guy that you kind of like. They have Washington Jr. He had 7 threes a couple days ago. He's a knockdown shooter. He was an undrafted guy. Terry Taylor has had a double-double in his last four games for us. He's a guy who was playing for the Mad Ants at the start of the season. He's a guy who's young. And then you have other pieces, too. I mean, Goga, you can throw him in there. I'm not a fan of him.
Poor Goga.
Goga, he sucks. Goga. I mean, I would like him if he, like, chose to, like, play in, like, summer league instead of going overseas and just having a vacation. That's kind of where I lost all respect for him. He was, like, just, like, you look at, like, you're watching the Pacer game. It says, like, not there. Like, inactive. And then you go look in his Instagram, and he posted 5 minutes ago in Korea looking at trees. I'm just like, what? I thought he was like, just get out of here. but they have other pieces as well. This team's young, and I think they're going to continue to get better. They have Halliburton now. He's 21 years old. He's averaging 14 this season, 7 assists, a 41% three-point shooter. I think this can really only go up, and I'm excited to see what they continue to do. But I think it feels good. It feels good.
Right. I mean, the light at the end of the tunnel is not an oncoming train for the Pacers.
Yeah. The train passed. And you just have to get through the tunnel.
Yeah.
I don't know how long that tunnel could be. Hopefully it's a shorter tunnel. But Halliburton's a guy, I want to see what he can do as a one. So we'll see. He's a guy who can give you 20.
Well, and you know, you're giving Rick Carlisle a lot of young players to work with. So I think that's a good thing. And he's got a great staff that he's put together.
Yeah, and I think if all else fails, I don't know how long Pritchard's going to be here. I know it's rumored that Carlisle could move up and Lloyd Pierce would come up and be head coach. I know that's been rumored. I don't know if it will happen, especially if Pritchard was the man who made these trades. I don't know, but we'll see. We will have to see.
Well, and two, it does shine a spotlight once again on the Pacers front office, because you know, maybe Kevin Pritchard isn't the villain in all this. Maybe somebody was holding him back.
Well, the owner?
the you know, they did, by the way, the Simons did just sell Circle Center.
Wow.
So they sold their Simon Malls, sold their stake in Circle Center Mall. So maybe they have some more money to play with now.
Maybe they'll sell the team to an owner that wants to compete. I
really doubt the Simons will sell the team. You know, for all the criticism they get, the Simons have kept the Pacers here.
Yeah, and they redid the stadium. Right. Now it's Cambridge.
Yep.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, they've done a lot here.
They
get dogged on because they're cheap.
Right, and they are. And they haven't fielded a competitive product, floor.
I mean, I know that there was a snowstorm last Wednesday coming in, and that's why but there was a the lowest amount of fans ever in now Gainbridge Fieldhouse, formerly Bankers Life and Conseco Fieldhouse, but there was like a total like 2,000 people there, and that's just terrible.
I mean, I don't know if you're ever going to sell out that building consistently.
No, I don't think you ever will.
But I think that you should have north of 16,000 people.
16
in that building.
That's a good number.
Yeah, I mean, you should have that every night.
Yeah, and I think in all reality, I think after this trade, people are going to go buy tickets because they want to see these young guys play.
They aren't going to come back. I mean, they're going to all come back.
It's not going to be filled.
And I think, too, you got Pacers fans like me who remember the 80s and the 90s and the 2000s and, you know, when the Pacers were top of mind in the NBA. You know, I can remember that series that was in The Last Dance. I mean, I remember that series because I watched it.
They should have beat them.
Yeah, the Pacers were, you know, they had the unenviable task of always beating whoever was the best player. You know, Michael Jordan, Kobe Bryant,
LeBron
ran into, Shaq. They ran into him in the playoffs a couple of times, you know, when Shaq was really Shaq. So the Knicks. The Knicks and the Pacers was epic. I mean, they did a whole 30 for 30 mm-hmm. on Reggie Miller and the Knicks. I mean, that was culture. The Pacers were pop culture back then.
Mm-hmm.
And I remember that. You know, and now you look at where the organization is, and it's not there. You know, and the NBA is a different league, too. There's no question. The NBA has changed a ton. And, you know, some people are like, oh, the NBA, I can't watch the NBA. It's like, well, yeah, that's not helpful. you know, it's not like what it was when I was. Yeah, it was. If you go back and watch some of those NBA games back then when it was, you know, I remember the Pacers held the Knicks to 68 points one time in a playoff game. I mean, do you want to watch that? No.
No.
That's not in an entertainment league. You don't want to watch that. I mean, I think the NBA is really entertaining right now. And I think the Pacers fans want to be a part of that. So it's going to take a while to rebuild that. But the Pacers are going to have to do a lot of work.
Mm-hmm.
But it's there. I think the fan base, you'll get the old fans back. You'll get the new fans with it. You'll get fans like you that really have never tasted that experience where the Pacers have been really good. I mean, the Pacers were really good. You know, you've never really tasted that in your lifetime.
Yeah. So, I mean, I got to taste whenever they were good with George.
But they weren't in the finals.
No. And they, you know, I mean, they've only been in the finals.
They were in the Eastern Conference finals, I think.
Two straight years, yeah. And they were in a semi, not semi.
But they weren't in the. I mean, I remember when the Pacers played the Lakers in the finals.
Yeah, 2000.
Yeah. And this city was going crazy for the Indiana Pacers back then. So they can get there again. You can see what this. It didn't take long once the Colts kind of came back after a couple of their missteps. You know, it doesn't take long to get that fan base back. People will be right back. They'll be right back at it.
Oh, yeah, especially if this team can come out and be competitive and start winning games again.
As long as the guy with the pink flamingos and the signs is there.
Yeah,
the hard hat.
I've only seen him once this season.
Yeah.
And when he's there, I mean.
That's a big game.
Oh, yeah. He's only there for, like, their primetime games.
Right.
So if he's there for a regular season, regular game, that's when you know the Pacers are good.
Right. Get pink flamingo guy back.
And
I don't think he lives in the city. I think he flies in.
Oh. Well, maybe he needs to. Flying more occasionally than
I don't know. I don't know his business.
Yeah, I don't know. But all I know is he sits front court, and I wish I could sit where he sits.
Yeah.
But
well, you can get tickets right now.
Oh, a dollar up in the top. Maybe yeah. Maybe there'll be $2 now since they made a trade.
Moving on up.
I saw that and I'm like, wow, a dollar. And then you look at fees, and it's about $5 for fees. So it's in all reality a $6 ticket.
So the hot dog is probably going to cost you more than the ticket.
Oh, the hot dog. They actually raised the prices of food.
Well, so, you got to pay for all the renovations.
So it was $5 for a French fry. Now it's $8.
It is a fantastic facility now, though.
Yeah, just Banker's don't
Life
buy food.
Or Gainbridge. I'm going to still call it Banker's Life for a long time.
I sometimes still call it Conseco. And I wasn't even really around when it was Conseco.
It was supposed to be the Indiana Fieldhouse when it started.
Mm.
And then Conseco jumped in and. So that kind of got buried in a lot of our brains, and then, you know, yeah, it's moved on. And the color scheme has changed, too. At first, it was green. Now it's more blue.
Yeah.
But Gainbridge, you gotta, I don't know much about that company, and certainly I'm not trying to, you know, promote them or anything, but man, they've really stepped up in this city. Sponsor the Fieldhouse. Mm-hmm. It's also the Indy 500 presented by Gainbridge. They sponsor an IndyCar. You know, that's a company that's really probably 5 years ago, 10 years ago, we weren't really talking about.
So they're coming around, but we're going to switch topics and talk about this quickly. The Indiana Hoosiers college basketball, they take on Northwestern tonight at Northwestern. They did lose a game at home on the 5th of February versus the 13th ranked Illinois, 74-57. That was not a good game.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance to see it. We were here for the Avon Ben Davis game that day. I didn't get a chance to see it. When I opened up my phone and checked the score, that was very disappointing. Then you see how the game went, where they actually had the lead the first half, and then, you know, we've seen this movie before with mm-hmm. Indiana, where they've just kind of, you know, in the second half, that's it. So I mean, obviously, I think Coach Woodson kind of pulled no punches afterwards. He's like, hey, you know, Illinois played 40 minutes of great basketball. We played 20. And that's absolutely the way it is. But with this schedule that Indiana has, you can't do that anymore. Yeah.
And the thing that was kind of crazy, looking at these stats, Trace Jackson Davis, 6 points.
Yeah.
That's just going to
tell you. You got in foul trouble and that was it. Yeah. So, but the thing with Indiana, they're not a lock yet for the NCAA tournament.
I think they're going to get there because they beat Purdue. And they have beat a couple good teams.
They're not on any lock.
But they're going to have to beat Michigan State or Wisconsin, I think,
there's
or Ohio
seven,
State.
Seven teams that are getting in from the Big Ten. That's what just about every forecast that I've seen. The IU is right now six in the Big Ten. So they can't do what they did against Illinois and hope to get in the big dance. Not going to happen. That would be an extreme disappointment from where this team was after beating Purdue to have them, you know, just belly flop the season. I don't think they will. I mean, I think that Coach Woodson won't let that happen, but that would be a huge disappointment if Indiana were not, or if India has to sweat on Selection Sunday. Mm-hmm. That would be a huge disappointment because, you know, once again, we've seen Purdue kind of kill IU in the recruiting battles here in state. Well, Purdue's the one that's going to have the one or two seed when this is all over. Indiana has to be in the tournament. I mean, just you can't have this situation where you miss the tournament again. And like I said, I don't think that the Hoosiers are any danger of missing the tournament. But if you play 20 minutes in the Big Ten, you're going to lose a lot of games.
Mm-hmm.
You got to play 40.
At least. I mean, you have to
play.
This
team is too talented.
Yeah.
To lose at home by that many points to Michigan and to Illinois. Now, Michigan was just inexcusable.
That was a terrible loss.
Illinois is a great basketball. Illinois has had a struggle. They've struggled with injuries. They've had a bad start to the year, but they've got it back now, and they're rolling.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good basketball team that, you know, will be probably a 4 or 5 seed that nobody's going to want to play. Nobody will want to play that team. So, you know, once you start filling out your brackets, that's going to be a team that maybe you want to look at going a long way in the tournament. But, you know, here we are. It's hard to believe that we're to this point in the college basketball season. We got basically a month left in the season. And, you know, it's put up or shut up time for Indiana.
And they have some big games coming up tonight, a road game versus Northwestern. And Northwestern is a team that's not that good.
They can jump up and bite you, though.
But it's at Northwestern, and it's hard to go win in the Big Ten at home.
They can jump up and bite you, and certainly Indiana has shown the ability to
fold,
fritter away a lot of games where you think, man, IU, they should win this game. You know, we kind of saw them. I think maybe you said it a couple weeks ago. It's like, one step forward, two steps back all the time with Indiana.
And they kind of play down to their competition.
Because they go to Maryland and they just really dominate Maryland in a game that was probably closer than the final score, even though IU kind of blew them out. Then you go home and face Illinois and you feel like, we got a chance, you know. We might sneak into the rankings if we beat Illinois. You know, you lay an egg and that's where you are if you're the Hoosiers. So they can't do that. They can't do this with the schedule they've got left with Michigan State. They still got Purdue on there. They still got Ohio State to play. And they still got some Wisconsin is ranked.
Wisconsin, and they have Maryland, Minnesota, yep. Rutgers. I mean, all teams that are.
Yeah, Rutgers is probably not going to make the tournament, but they're
decent.
They're decent. They're having a decent year. You know, certainly Maryland's struggling at the moment. Probably going to have to get a new coach at the end of the year. But, you know, with Indiana, the question is internal. It's not because all the ingredients are there for the Hoosiers to, I think, be a Sweet 16 team. But it's all internal. So we'll see what happens with the Hoosiers.
Yeah, they play tonight at 9 versus Northwestern. I don't think this is going to be on big things. I'd assume Big Ten Network.
Yeah, I think so.
So that's going to be a game to watch out. We'll talk about this and more this Thursday. But the NBA trade deadline's wrapping up this Thursday, so I would assume if the Pacers make another trade, we'll tell you then.
Yeah, kind of. When you get those breaking news situations, it kind of dominates what happens.
And another thing, I mean, just another the Super Bowl's coming up. We got to talk about that.
You know what else is coming up in a couple weeks? IndyCar racing.
Oh, yeah.
Can you believe that?
It's coming back. The Clash was Sunday.
That was fun.
Yeah.
I watched that race.
It was an interesting one.
It was. Short track NASCAR. I'm a big fan of that. It was a lot of fun to see that race in a stadium. I didn't know how it was going to go. I didn't know if it was going to be a big disaster or, you know, a crash fest. But actually, it was an entertaining race. And the car of tomorrow, next gen cars.
It's weird.
They look pretty good though.
Besides the number.
Yeah, it's gonna take a while to get the eyeball looking at that. There are some cars that I think look better than others with their paint schemes. It's funny, in IndyCar we call them liveries, but in NASCAR it's a paint scheme. So there's gonna be some interesting new paint schemes. But you know, it's kinda like the aero screen in IndyCar. When I saw that first, I was like, ugh. You know?
It looks better.
And then I decided, well, you know, it's for driver safety. If this, you know, saves the life of my favorite driver and I don't have to watch a driver die again, then it's a good thing. So I kind of had that. But now the aero screen, I think it looks quite good because it's now a lot of the teams have, you know, incorporated it into the liveries. Like I think Scott Dixon's car with the way it's painted and with the aero screen, the way the livery comes up on the aero screen. I mean, I think it looks tremendous. So, and it's safer. Gosh, that's the biggest thing. You know, when you saw a couple years ago in Iowa where they had the big pile up right at the start finish line, the car goes up and over the other car, that might have been a dead driver. And you know, we don't have that. So that was a huge thing. F1, same thing with the ugly halo. But hey, when you get those open cockpits and you still see people in the Twitterverse still saying things like, oh, I can't show it like that with an open cockpit. Blah, blah, blah. It still is. It still is an open cockpit. But, you know, the aero screen just makes it so much safer.
Yeah. And I think it helps. I mean, obviously, we saw at least in the past 10 years, a few IndyCar drivers have passed away.
Justin Wilson. Dan Weldon.
Justin Wilson. I was at that race.
Yeah.
So
in Pocono.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I was at that race in Pocono. So.
And that was a freak thing.
Oh,
I mean,
it's crazy.
Nose cone goes in the air and comes right down on him.
And with this new thing, I don't know if that happens.
Yeah. Well, and I think we've seen that a few times. I mean, we saw the horrible injury with Robert Wickens.
Mm-hmm.
But he got back. Is racing again now. That was cool.
He's racing with
driving in IMSA.
Yeah, he won't. I don't know if he's ever going to be able to move his legs again.
He can walk.
He can?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
They saw him get out of his wheelchair and get into a car.
Yeah.
I saw that video. I didn't know he could walk.
Yeah. He's able to do those things. He can't walk long distances or anything.
I know he races with his hands. He doesn't race
with
his feet.
Have hand controls in the car. But still, very inspirational. But, you know, would that have happened if the aero screen had been on the car?
I don't know.
I mean, that's
the question.
Yeah.
And I think it's just going to continue every year to get better.
Right.
And safety, I mean, we'll probably look at the cars this year and then 20 years down the road and we're like, they drove in that?
Yeah. Well, so. I mean, you look at that now, and you go back 20 years or 30 years to the 90s, and you see how forward the drivers were in the car.
I know, it's crazy.
And it's like every time they hit the wall head on, the guys tore up their ankles and their legs, you know? Mark Dismore, just you go back and look at his accident in practice, and he survived. A lot of those guys survived, but they call it the IndyCar shuffle because, you know, just the legs and just everything that would get crushed down there when they'd hit those walls at 230 miles an hour. Finally, they said, hey, let's move the guys back in the car a little bit. And, you know, it's changed the way that those front impacts affect the drivers. You know, when the early days of the Indy Racing League, when a car would back into the wall, the gearbox was such that it would just drive everything right up into the back of the driver. And, you know, they make, unfortunately, it's kind of sad, the Dale Earnhardt crash at Daytona. Sometimes those crashes are the kind of catalyst for change. Mm-hmm. And, you know, that Dan Weldon awful accident has made a lot of changes in IndyCar. The way we do things, you know, they had the pods over the back tires for a while, things like that. So racing gets safer and safer and safer. It's never going to be 100% safe because when you're a human body going that fast and you hit things.
It's not good.
No, but they've certainly made it 100,000% safer than it was in the 60s.
Oh, yeah.
You can go through those old Indy 500 fields and be like, okay, that guy died in a wreck. That guy died in a wreck. You know, you can go through and just pick them out. And that's what makes, like, A.J. Foyt making it 87. That's what makes that so amazing. And Mario Andretti being around and Al Unser and Bobby Unser having the long lives that they had. That's what's amazing because those guys survived. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of their friends didn't,
and that's just the crazy thing. But yeah, but I think we're gonna wrap up the show here. It's been a good one. Lots of breaking news. Pacers sending DeMontis Sabonis to Sacramento. Yeah. Tyrese Halliburton and more are coming here. Lots more NBA trade stuff coming on. We'll talk about it this Thursday at 1:15. And
a little game Sunday too.
Yeah, just some bowl. Yeah. I don't know what it's called. We'll talk about that more. Bengals, Rams predictions coming your way this Thursday. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you soon.